I'm very thankful today. I have been completely humbled by this past week. I am honored and privileged to be able to preach the gospel here every week. But as you can see, I am not alone. On Thursday night, we finished the spiritual warfare video series. It's taught on tape by Dean Sherman, but it was led for us by Dave Burke. Dave has done an amazing job these past 3 months, and I've watched him grow in his faith. It makes a pastor happy to see the Lord at work in one of his sheep, to see the Lord come alive in you blesses me. It's not that it gives me any credit whatsoever. It's just to see God move in you really lights up me and makes me feel like, well, God is doing something here. And it's true for a bunch more of you. I just can't take the time to name all the ones of you that I have seen the Lord at work in. This morning at Easter sunrise, My son-in-law and daughter came, as they come every Easter sunrise. It's a special time for them because 30-some years ago, Carl gave his life to Christ on Easter Sunday. And he likes to just continue the testimony. So praise God for the way God is at work. Thank you, Dave Burke, for your ministry to us this past 3 months. Then on Friday night, we were so blessed by the Good Friday service that Amanda put on for us. I've never been to a better one, nor one that confronted me so deeply, yet so lovingly. It's like the Holy Spirit showed up from start to finish, and he poured love and life into us the entire time that we were trying to remember what Jesus did for us. You see, that's it. Jesus pours love and life into us, especially when we pay attention to him. When we take the time to devote a time like this, or an hour on Friday, or some time on Thursday, when we give ourselves to him, he has no trouble giving himself to us. Amen? Amen. And then this morning, here it is, Resurrection Sunday. Somebody say it with me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Glory.
Glory!
I like that. Rex has got it down. You know, for an old Baptist, he's come a long way. This is good. And then to see eight of our young people up here, almost like a professional theater troupe. Amen? Amen. I mean, I'm used to skits and plays. I'm used to things. But this was an anointed morning. What a great job you guys did, each and every one of you. Not one of you was just stationary and silent. You were all moving and understanding something was going on in the spirit realm. It was incredible. Christy, the director, had quit. Said she wasn't going to do any more of these plays. And then the Holy Spirit thumped on her real good. And then to have two of our own come up and sing a song for the congregation. Obviously, God had moved in their hearts. Several weeks ago, they wanted to bless us with song. I'm told there's a very popular TV show. It is so popular that in this, its final season, the media are almost rabid with interest. Okay, it's a fact, I watch TV. But I've never seen not even one episode of this show. I haven't been infected. But the title itself is a prophetic wonder. Got any idea what show I'm talking about? What show would be a prophetic wonder? Say it. Game of Thrones. Is it game or games of thrones? Game of Thrones. I won't ask to see hands of those that you watched it. I'm not rebuking you for watching it. Like I said, I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's about. But the idea, just the title, Game of Thrones. Have any of you been reading the Bible with us lately? We're into the kings? Huh? We're into the Game of Thrones, man. The title is so revealing of what's going on in our world today, the Battle of Kings, the Battle of Thrones. And what's this all about? It's about power. It's about influence, and it's about control.
Amen.
Thank you. Listen, this is going on right now in your lives. The war is on. God Almighty, drum roll, is calling you to himself, to his kingdom. Well, that was good. You knew where I was going, didn't you? That was really good. Let's go over that again. We sit here on a wonderful Sunday morning, warm, well-fed, loving life, family close. It's Easter. We're all prettified. Everything's great. God Almighty. I got to have you come back. Yeah. God Almighty is calling you to himself. And so is the devil. So is the world. So is the flesh. It's three against one. The world, the flesh, the devil. Friday was Good Friday. I got up Friday morning. I'm a member of the clergy, you see, so Friday morning's an important day for us professionals. And I wanted to so center my life and heart on the day and what it was and how important it was. I was prepared to be a holy man for Friday. Does that sound okay? And all day long, I was assaulted. Not by the devil so much, but by the world. I couldn't stand up, sit down, drive here, go there, answer the phone. It was just like everything in my life decided to light up and demand attention. Do you ever have a day like that?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not giving credit to the enemy for this particular day. I'm just saying it. It wasn't until Friday night, and I kind of slumped over there in my chair and said, finally, finally I get to be with you, Father. Do you know what I'm saying? And it made me wonder, as a professional Christian, what can I do to stay closer to him? What can I do during my day in the midst of all the world that's going on? We've been learning lately on Thursday nights how to fight the enemy. And it's good stuff. I have learned so many ways that I've been failing. Anyone else? We know how to fight the flesh, don't we? Do we know how to fight the flesh? You say no. It's the same way you fight the devil. You say no. Four people get it. We say, I'm dead to that. I'm no longer able to be tempted that way. Yes, devil, I rebuke you, but I can also call the flesh into agreement with God's word. Yes? The problem, folks, is that this war we're in is not a TV fantasy. It's alarmingly real. And I'm just guessing that in this Game of Thrones series, which I think is year four or something like that, let's say they have 20 shows a year and it's year four, that's like 80 times they're going to have a TV representation of some kind of power struggle between kings. Have you been reading with us this year through the Bible? If you've had, then we've gotten to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 15 we went through this week, and it tells us about kings and kingdoms. And it tells us the results of how those kings ruled. It's playing out on your television and in your newspapers every single day when you see how our Congress is behaving, or what's going on in Italy with the riots in Italy, or how Argentina is exploding. Yes, all over the world, kings and kingdoms are in conflict. Amen? Come on. Amen? Be loosed. Be freed. Chapter 15, verse 9, this guy named Asa, A-S-A, he becomes king of Judah. At that time, we had two divisions of the kingdom of God. We had the tribe of Judah. We had the tribes of Israel. And Asa became king of Judah. And he reigned for 41 years, so we know he had a good long run of it. But most importantly, this is a direct quote, Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. How remarkable is it that the scripture wants to tell us when a king did something that was pleasing to the Lord? And what did the Lord do in reply to Asa? He blessed him, didn't he? Asa's kingdom prospered because Asa did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. We read about some other kings, and it said they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. It gives us so much detail, we almost get bored with it. It's almost like reading the News Times. And what did God do in response to the evil that the kings were doing? He crushed them. He allowed them to be overthrown. He thwarted their purposes. This is Resurrection Sunday. Today of all days, we remember what Jesus Christ did for us, right? That he died for us to pay the price of our sins, that he redeemed us and gives us eternity with God. Jesus did, you see, what was pleasing, follow me, Jesus did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did what his Father asked him to do. He double-checked it. Remember? Father, is it possible that this cup pass? Father said, nope, we're going through the deal. We're going to do the whole deal. What did Jesus do? He obeyed. He did what the Father asked him to do. I submit to you that Jesus Christ did the impossible to show us that nothing is impossible with God. Anytime you're facing anything and you feel like you're just not strong enough to do it, you just don't have the determination, ability, courage, the faith. Go back and read what Jesus did for you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And draw your strength from him. And I don't know if this is really true or not. I've never served in that branch of the military that would give me this experience. But I'm told that torture isn't really effective, because a person will say anything you want them to say if you make it painful enough. I mean, look at poor Peter. He wasn't even hit. And he began to deny Christ. His pain, the mere concept that he might be caught and tortured and then the rooster crows. I am so glad that I don't have to defend myself by myself with the torturer, because my defender is Jesus Christ. Would you repeat after me? My defender is Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, there is an accuser. But the defense attorney has him beat. Because they can find no fault in me. The accuser, who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan, the devil. Your enemy is the accuser of the brethren. If he comes to accuse you, you who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is that you? If that's you, raise both hands. You are saved. Amen?
Amen.
If the accuser comes, do they find fault in you? The accuser comes with a horde of his demons to trot you before the court of God. Can they find any fault in you? It's so simple, isn't it, this stuff called Christ? By his blood, you have been washed clean. Your sins have not only been paid for, they've been blotted out. Father does not see any fault in you. Please repeat after me. There is no fault in me. There is no fault in me. How many of you just now heard another voice condemning you? How many of you just now had thoughts running through your spirit? Well, yeah, I'm still a screw up. Well, yeah, I still do this or that. One honest person. Two honest persons. Okay. We're real good at seeing our sin, aren't we? What about the sin of the person next to you? You ever discover that? The people you live with, do you ever see their sin? Do you ever see sin in your parents or in your family? How do we resolve this, that you and I, we walk around planet Earth completely aware of sin in other people as well as ourselves? And yet your Savior is saying, I find no fault in you. I died for you. What? Love covers them all, doesn't it? We've sung about it. We've praised him about it. I'm going to close with a scripture out of the book of Revelation. This is 2019. We get that many years as we date the calendar from B.C. to A.D., B.C. before Christ. How many years were there before Christ? The debate rages on whether it's 4,000 or more. But A.D., we're pretty well fixed in. There's 2019, right? So we can say there's 6,000 or more years of planet Earth. Some of you want to argue for an old Earth. That's not the point. There's been thousands of years, right? We've been at this for thousands of years. So the idea of 1,000 years is not that big a deal. Amen? When the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations, called Gog and Magog, in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle. A mighty army, as numberless as sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. Did you picture that? Is that a Game of Thrones going on? Got Jerusalem, God's beloved city, people of God living there, and now they are surrounded by Satan and his demons as numberless as the sea. Does that make you quake? But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. Glory. There you go. Then the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. Who was standing? So there must have been a pretty big resurrection deal going on, right? How many of the dead were standing there? And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This would be a pretty good Game of Thrones show. Well, then, drum roll. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear." Any tears? Gone. "And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Hallelujah. How do you hold it back, church? How do you hold it back? Are you just sitting on your hallelujah? Is that what it is? Last night I caught a quick glimpse of one of these churches down in Louisiana, I think it was. Three black churches got burned down. Yeah, there was some kind of an arsonist, and he went one, two, three black churches over a period of days, and he burned them down. They've obviously found some other places to hold their services, but they cut to a building that was open to them to allow them to have church. What kind of church do you think they were having? They weren't sitting on their hallelujahs, let me tell you. I was ready to get in my Prius and go right down to Louisiana. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Set us free, O God. Oh, I don't want to look weird. Who do you not want to look weird to? And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, it is finished. We heard that before? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, that we can go to a Timbers game and lose our minds. That we can go to a Banks High School game and won the championship in two sports this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, that was almost louder than Easter. We've come full circle. Here's the deal. You and I find fault in one another. God finds no fault in us. You and I judge one another. God says, judge not. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's time to let any of the dead faith in you rise again. Amen? You've heard the story. You know all the details. Let the dead faith come to rise again. As we go from this place stronger, more empowered, more encouraged, more understanding of how he loves us so. Amen? Amen? Father, I pray your blessing upon these people. Let us be numbered among those who shout the hallelujahs. Let us be numbered among those who cry amen and amen. We thank you, O Lord, that the day is coming and it's not far off. That it will be said that we are your people and that you are our God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, church, and happy Easter. I think we have fellowship snacks. I'm not sure. But if we do, let's hang around and enjoy them. Okay. You're dismissed.